Let's take a peek
now at some of the Bible passages about the Holy Ghost to see how he may have just let them go by inadvertently. We'll first go to 1 John in the classic statement he made. For there are three that bear record in heaven, meaning the three who have the impress of divinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and the three are one. The Father, then, is divine consciousness. The Word is the Christ, Son of God, divine image in that divine consciousness, and the Holy Ghost is the activity of the Christ in you. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now you'll notice then that the water and the blood are stressed, and the blood now is revealed to be the activity of the Christ. The Holy Ghost is the blood. When you are told to drink of my blood, you are told, let the activity of the Christ in you be paramount. That's drinking of the blood, letting the Holy Ghost in you come through. Elsewhere, Jesus says, I am the light. The light is the Holy Ghost. The light is the activity of the Spirit. Now, Paul was quick to pick up the Holy Ghost in Romans, and Paul possibly gives us more of an understanding of it than anyone else on certain levels. In Romans, the 17th verse of the 14th chapter, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is making it clear to us that joy in the Holy Ghost is what we must come to. We all know his teaching about the Christ, the temple not made with hands, about seeing the unseen. But now he's talking about that activity from a different standpoint. He's revealing to us that which is a living substance, and that which becomes the substance of visible form. He is revealing to us how manna fell in the desert for Moses, and how oil poured out of a cruse for a widow, and how cripples could walk, how the blind could see. The substance that we call healing was nothing more than the activity of the Holy Ghost released through awakened consciousness, made visible through human eyes. If, for example, you had a problem at this moment, but were able to directly cognize the Holy Ghost within you, it would appear, and the problem, which it seemed to be a problem, would be met by the disappearance of the problem. And that which met it, which appeared as the fulfillment, would be that Holy Ghost. Now you're standing on the threshold of a miracle. Of a miracle in which the will of God expressing in the Christ comes into your visible, tangible life. The way Spirit beareth intercession. The way the wind blows, but where it comes from, nobody knows. Suddenly, there it is. There is your health. There is your finance. There is your transportation. There is your harmony. There is your life eternal. And only through this invisible activity, which Paul calls joy in the Holy Ghost. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. And the Christ that liveth my life lives it in me as the activity called Holy Ghost. Now, did you know that some of the Bibles have cut out John's revelation that the Father, the Son, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one? They have said it was an interpolation written in later, not authentic. And the reason they have said that is because they cannot understand what the Holy Ghost means. When you can't understand something, you want to get rid of it. There are some Bibles that have eliminated that line. And they are eliminating the very substance of the secret message of Jesus. That only through this oneness of the three does one come into the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if we have an impure consciousness, naturally, we can't expect that impure consciousness to be a home for divinity. And so it behooves us to empty out the impurities of humanhood so that we may receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul's going to enumerate those in a moment. First, I want you to see the positive identifications of the Holy Ghost by John. Now, in the 16th chapter of John, we begin to understand a little more about the Comforter. 1 John tells us that Jesus said this, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But now, from there, we find the Comforter is explained. Because in the 14th chapter, Jesus says through John, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now let's unscramble that, so that we have a very clear picture of it. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now then, Jesus is speaking, but Jesus is the Christ. And he's saying the Father will send in my name, Christ, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So there you have that Father, divine consciousness, Jesus, the Christ consciousness, and the activity of it will be sent by the Father through the Christ consciousness as the Holy Ghost to you. I wanted you to get this directly from Jesus as an authentic revelation of the three. "And this Holy Ghost shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I, Christ, have said unto you." And then to clarify that the Holy Ghost is the activity of the Christ, let us look at another passage. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I," and that's Jesus talking now, who is the Christ, "whom I, the Christ, will send unto you from the Father." Again, from the Father, I, the Christ, will send you the Comforter. "Even the Spirit of truth." And now you have the identification of what it means to be reborn of the Spirit. and of the water, of the truth, to be reborn of the Comforter. For I will send you the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, which is the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, and he shall testify of me. And as you are able then to receive the Comforter, it has been sent to you by the Christ, and I think you can catch that if you see it this way. When the sunlight touches your hand, you're being touched by a sunbeam. The sun up there doesn't move out of position, but a sunbeam touches you. There's the sun and the sunbeam. Now, I liken that to the Christ and the Holy Ghost. The sun moves itself as a sunbeam, and the activity of the sun is the sunbeam which touches you. The Christ is the sun, and the activity of the Christ, like a sunbeam, becomes the Holy Ghost, and that is what you receive. And that's the explanation of the Holy Ghost. Now, as you receive it, it brings you the gifts of Christhood. And that's what these passages are saying. Now, Paul caught it this way. Well, first we'll take another one in John, which seems to say something else about it. This is the 16th chapter of John, the verses 12 to 6. And this you've heard many times, but hear it from this standpoint now. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. This is Jesus talking, but Jesus is the Christ. So the Christ cannot yet reveal to the disciples the fullness of what Christ means. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, as the Christ sends the Comforter, which is the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, now you see you have this new dimension, this missing link, which the world has not understood, that this Holy Ghost is the activity of the Comfort of the Christ, sent as truth and spirit, and he will guide you into all truth. In this Holy Ghost is the complete pattern of your being. This is where the activated divine image and likeness of you is. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. In other words, this Holy Ghost is the expression of the Christ, which is the expression of the divine consciousness. And you must open to it in you now. It bears the total imprint of your divinity. And only through it can you receive the Christ. To the measure that you're receptive to the Holy Ghost, to that measure is increased your acceptance of the Christ. There's a step up. There's an intensification. So now you become aware of the first little impulse which says, do this or don't do this. And you become obedient to it. And only as you become obedient to these impulses are you receiving the Ghost. And then as you receive the Ghost and are obedient, more of Christ is sent your way through the Ghost, gradually to the point where you are an obedient son. And whatever the Ghost within is directing, you are doing. And this will intensify to the point of the Ghost now becoming its highest form of activity, which Jesus is now conveying to his disciples. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. They can never receive the Comforter when they are mistaking a visible human being as God, when they are worshiping Jesus and have not discovered that he is the invisible Christ of their own being. And so his disappearance is necessary for them to find the Christ within, which will comfort them. I think you could get a picture this way, a full picture, of the way we stand now and the way we should stand. Out here, we are in the flesh, and we are receiving impressions into our brain from the outer world. And those impressions are being sent into our brain from the world, which is not God's creation. Now, something had to put it there. And it was put there by this vast, supposed mentality, which is looking at the kingdom of God and forming its impression, which is called the world. And we are looking at that vast impression called the world and receiving it through the eyes and the ears and the fingertips and the mouth into the brain. And this is our human life. Universal mortal mind creating an impression of the kingdom called the world, and the world outside coming through us, through our five senses, to touch our brain. This is the way we live. This is our humanhood. But invisible is something else. Invisible is something which does not have good and evil, which does not have murder, which does not have disease, which does not have death, which does not have problems. Invisible is the creation, the perfect kingdom of God, which is divine consciousness. And it is the substance of our true being. And we living in this mortal state, which is a mental state, which is a parade of impressions about a world that was not God created, we are trying to be reborn of this invisible state, of the spirit. And to do so, there is a certain implementation already set up in which God the Father, the consciousness, God the Son, the Christ, and God the Holy Ghost are to move through us as one, impressing in us the will, the wisdom, the fullness of the divine plan. And we are now to turn from this complete outer world and its channels through which it reaches us, opening a way for this imprisoned splendor to come through and to receive the gifts of the Spirit. We are told to abide. And when we are told that if you abide and let me abide in you, I will direct thy paths, we are being told that within us now there is a power which can do this. And this power which can do this is mightier than the murders, the diseases, the bombs, the death. The complete material world's powers are nothing compared to this invisible power within, called Christ, which acts as the living Holy Ghost within us. Now you see, we are between these two worlds now. We are in this world, but the truth of us is in the kingdom. And it is that Holy Ghost which is going to come through us, escorting us from one world to the other. This is the secret of how we move from this world into the kingdom. The Holy Ghost within our own being becomes the actual activity which makes that transition for us. Now, in your stillness, you are following the path of the prophets, of the illumined, of Jesus, of Mary, of John, and you are letting yourself be reborn from your mental concept of self into a second birth, which second birth is the birth of the Holy Ghost in you. And at that moment, you cannot be mortal flesh again. You are no longer physical flesh. Now, this Holy Ghost in you is neither male nor female. And the Christ of you is neither male nor female now. And there are some of us who have been able to work with this a little bit in the realization that although you would appear as male or female now, actually you are neither. And there is a way of resting in this realization and seeing not an opposite sex, but no sex. Seeing rather with the eyes of spirit that this is the Christ incarnate, not as male or female. And then you begin to drop some more of the mental notions we entertain. Now, this is part of the purification. You may remember in the Gospel of Thomas, when some of the disciples were unwilling to accept Mary as one of them, Jesus said she will be made male. Now, his meaning is this, that when the Holy Ghost enters your being and is accepted and mortality is dissolved, that is called being made male. But actually, it has no relationship to male or female. It is the complete realization that I am the Holy Ghost. Now, in the Acts, after the disappearance of Jesus, there was a moment when the cloven tongues and the flames of fire came to the disciples, and it is generally supposed that this can just happen. But it happened because there was a Mary present there, just as this same Mary was present for the birth of Jesus, who became the Christ. It was her high mastership which was actually the foundation of the Christian movement after the departure of Jesus. It wasn't John or Peter, as our Bible has it. But nobody would accept a female. And so that's the way she worked. She was truly the leader of the early Christians. And all took orders from her, including John and Peter. She was the one. And it was she whose presence made possible the Holy Ghost descending upon the disciples in that little upper room in Jerusalem where they were told to go. Now, when the Holy Ghost descended upon them, that was the Comforter. And that was the transfiguration of their bodies from mortal to immortal. In other words, it was the relinquishing of the mortal idea that I am man of flesh. And from that moment on, the power of the Holy Ghost in them did the miracles that are attributed to them. And it is this power of the Holy Ghost in you toward which you must work. Now, Paul only touches it lightly in the gifts of the Spirit, but we must see what these gifts are. He does it best in the Corinthians. He mentions them in Hebrews, but in Corinthians he elaborates quite a bit. And this passage is the 12th chapter of the 1st Corinthians. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And although he doesn't touch the fullness of the Holy Ghost here in the way of transfiguration, he tells us that the gifts that we are seeking can only come from this Holy Ghost, this Spirit. Ye know ye were Gentiles, carried away with dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You see, you know nothing about the Christ unless you first receive the Holy Ghost. You come to the Christ via the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now another term then for the Holy Ghost is manifestation. But this is an invisible manifestation, an incorporeal manifestation. And it appears to your human eye as fulfillment. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of the tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every to every man severally as he will. Now then, you see, he is telling us that your individuality in spirit is assured. You are never separate from spirit, but you are always distinctive. And through your receptivity, through your meekness unto the Holy Ghost, those qualities which are to be expressing in you are received. And for one they are this, and for one they are that. There need be no fear that I am relinquishing my individuality, because in Christ we all have individuality, and these are the diverse gifts of the Spirit. Now this is only a preliminary to the receipt of the Comforter, but the disciples were much higher than these who Paul was talking to at this time. Now, if you have caught something then of the nature of your own being, you can feel that there is a holy transformation taking place in you. The complete method has been already prepared for you to be perfect and to express the fullness of your Father. And as we are able to do this, the signs follow in abundance, so that now quite a number of us have received many important signs telling us that already active in us is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And as this mounts, more and more of your Christ identity is expressing in your consciousness. And this is how you are led into Christ consciousness, or the fullness of your being. Now, what man on earth can give us anything that is not already embodied in our being as the Christ and the Holy Ghost? When we are told that I go before you, we are being told that just like the armies that threatened did not disturb Hezekiah, who said they have only the arms of flesh, the arm of flesh, he was aware that there is an invisible activity called the Holy Ghost, which in you says, I in the midst of thee am mighty. I in the midst of thee am greater than he that walks the earth, whether he's an opposing army or whatever nature of a problem besets you. The activity of the Holy Ghost in you is the secret weapon which shows the one power of spirit as the only power in your being, to which all of the outer powers of the world are meaningless. For they are the arm of flesh, and the power of the spirit called the Holy Ghost within you is the arm of divine consciousness. Now, do you feel a measure of that in you? Do you feel the omnipresence of the Holy Ghost? It's working just as if you were to drop an Alka-Seltzer in a little glass of water and watch it fizz. This is the invisible fizzing of the Christ, ever, every moment. And this is the meaning of omnipresence, that I, Christ, am omnipresent as the activity of the Holy Ghost. And so whatever is missing where you are isn't missing. You're tuned to this world. In the Holy Ghost is all that I have, which is thine. Now take a tip from Mary. She may have been only 14 when she had Jesus. She was about 53 or 5 when she made her transition, 5 years after his crucifixion. Add that to the 14, you have 19, and then he was about 33. That gives you about 52. She was really quite young, but in spite of her youth, she had lived many previous lifetimes in the Word, and brought to full fruition the understanding of motherhood and of blessing the unborn child with its true identity in her consciousness, not only during and before the birth, but after the birth. In fact, she never stopped blessing him with his true identity. Now, there are many passages I could have read to you today about the heart. This great secret existed throughout the Old Testament and the New, that there was a place where you can rest in the truth, and that there is no other place. The secret place of the Most High is your divine consciousness, and that is your heart. And when you dwell there, you are permitting Christ to be born in you. Just as Mary outwardly was a symbol of one who, by dwelling in divine consciousness, permitted Christ to be born in her. This is an activity visible to the human eye, which will take place invisibly in your consciousness. She is the outward symbol of that activity in you. Her pondering in her consciousness made possible the birth of the Christ in her, and this complete activity must take place in each of us. We are, in our second birth, the result of this divine consciousness functioning as our only consciousness, so that we do not have a split, divided house serving two masters, serving a human consciousness, which is this world, and a divine consciousness, which is the kingdom. That we cannot do. That will only delay the immaculate conception of our own true being, which is our rebirth. Now, we are already knee-deep in the spiritual path, but real initiation does not come because someone lays hands upon you. And it does not come from a baptism in physical water. John baptized with physical water, but one will come who will baptize with the Spirit. And our baptism of the Spirit is what we're here for on this earth, so that the divine image and likeness of the Father can merge into expression where we stand glorifying the Father. Do you see that you are the Father and you are Mary and you are Jesus? You are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I am the One. I and the Father are the One, and there is no other One. And all that the Bible contains in its fullness represents the inner activity of your own soul. All of it. All of this outer Bible is the activity within your own soul which must eventually ultimate in the return of that soul to the Father's house or the anointing of Christhood. Now you're standing in a place where on one side of you is the world and on the other, invisible, is the kingdom. And there is nothing in this universe that can take you into that kingdom except your meekness unto the Spirit and your purification of the consciousness to the point of oneness with the divine, so that the pattern impressed into the seed of your being can emerge as a Holy Ghost activity, slowly transforming you by the renewing of the mind into the spiritual body, that body which is not under the law of this world. That's why this is such a difficult message. Those of us who want and feel that inner power, that inner urging, that inner demand, are moving that way, willing to be changed into the divine image. And others are not willing, through the fear, through the desire to cling, and through the unwillingness to purify the consciousness of its beliefs that my child is sick, or my mother is dying, or that the world will come to an end, or the earthquake will hit, or that racism is going to upset everything. This is what keeps you from receptivity to divinity. There must be no thought. There must be no acceptance of this world. There must be the realization that this world in its entirety, from A to Z, is a total counterfeit of the kingdom of God, which is invisible but is present. And then to remove yourself from the counterfeit by receptivity to the ghost is the way of the Christ, the way of rebirth, and the way shown us by the prophets, by Mary, by Jesus, and by the living Spirit of God within you this moment. Now, probably many of you are saying, well, things are pretty good now. We have a lot of harmony. My world is brightening up. That's marvelous, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Because as long as things are harmonious, you are apt not to take the necessary step to really release the comforter. We're satisfied with these manifestations of the Holy Ghost, but not the highest activity of the Ghost. And this change is the complete purpose of all human life. So that where you stand, stands the Comforter of God and not a human being. That you may walk this earth as a different kind of form. A form that looks exactly to others as their form, but is not. It is even neither male nor female, although it appears to be. And then you have attained that which the world called Jesus. And that is why Jesus did not marry. Because Jesus was really neither male nor female. Jesus was the Holy Ghost. And our Catholic friends who, in their priesthood, decide that they want to marry are revealing their unawareness of that fact. It is our function to be the Holy Ghost. You may be sure that all those who have made transition had to first reach the point of being the Holy Ghost on earth. And then their physical forms, which appeared already having made transition on earth, death was swallowed up in victory. There was no real death whatsoever. Now you must face it. You know, in 50 years none of us are going to be sitting here. And if there's a God and this were our end, the whole thing would be rather pointless. I'm sure that most of us know that isn't the way it is. But if we're not going to be here, but we're going to be, what are we going to be and where are we going to be? Well, that depends on what we're doing now. If we're living in consciousness, not human but divine, if we're receptive to the inner voice, the inner word, the inner ghost, our 50-year from now life is going to be as the invisible Christ, walking this earth unseen to the multitudes. Or we will return in another material envelope to begin the same quest which we have faced many thousands of years already. Now this is the plan, and there has to be a you that is willing to make the journey and to step out of this earthly envelope before the law of material nature makes you step out of it. And even if you don't succeed, even now if you don't succeed, all of the spiritual consciousness that you build is the laying up of your treasures in heaven, and you'll find that if you return to an earthly envelope in mortal flesh, you will take that spiritual consciousness with you. Not one whit of it is lost. And that is why, at the age of 14, Mary could give birth to the Christ. That is why a Chopin at the age of 2 or 3 could do things that no one else has done. This was their earlier acceptance of spirit, now showing forth in the next incarnation. And if you were able to trace the life of Jesus, you would find that many of the important names, probably, of previous lives that we have not associated with Jesus probably were him. But that will come through your inner eye, receiving the inner word. Now it is said that when Mary made her transition, she moved through all the heavens, saw all the prophets, but never believe for a moment that even a Mary is away from this universe, because there's no place for Mary to go. Mary is ever where Mary was, the invisible Christ of God, just as the physical son she bore. Always around us are those who have done the thing that we are doing, who have made their transitions because they have become the Comforter, the Holy Ghost themselves. They don't go anywhere. In fact, it is they who are teaching us to do this very thing right now. And occasionally you feel that impression coming through. Now remember then, the activity of the Christ is like the sun, and the sunbeam is like the activity of the Holy Ghost. You are touching Christ when you receive the Holy Ghost. And you will find you will move into Holy Ghostship, and then into Comfortership, and then into full Christhood. And this is the ascension that we're to go in. But only as your mind is turned from this world, resting, keeping your conversation totally in heaven. And if before it was more difficult because it was just a great blank, try to remember, you can commune with the Holy Ghost. You can sit right down, as Mary did, and ponder in your heart and commune with the Holy Ghost. And if it decides to appear as Gabriel, it will appear as Gabriel. If it decides to appear as a job, it will appear as a job. Whatever your need is, that Holy Ghost will appear as that need. And you will find fulfillment from your pondering, from your communion. And then you will have the idea of grace fully understood. Right where the world is seeing physical forms, you will look through those forms and know you can recognize behind the physical form the activity of the Holy Ghost, and you will know this form is blessed. Those other forms are not. This form bears the divine imprint. Even the money you receive in your hand is different than the money that other people receive. It is different this way. There is Holy Ghost money and there is human money, and they look alike. This isn't supposition. And this isn't a metaphor or a simile or a comparison. This is simple fact. There is Holy Ghost money and there is human money, and they look alike. Just as there is a Holy Ghost body and a human body, and they look alike. There is Holy Ghost matter, and there is material matter of the human mind, and they look alike. And when you know it, when the money that comes from the Holy Ghost appears, it has an address written on it. It has a destination, and it must go to that destination. If it comes to you for a purpose, it must go for that purpose. And when it does not, you will find something of a discord appearing. When it does, you will find more of the same coming. When you are disobedient to this Holy Ghost, you are saying, stop. Now, I'm mentioning money because I have seen the difference. I've even seen that a dollar of Holy Ghost money is worth 10 of human money, because it is earmarked for the purpose. It is the Holy Ghost appearing for a purpose to your human sense. And the other just flows through your fingers and you wonder where it went, because it wasn't earmarked for a purpose. Now, this is true about everything in which the Holy Ghost appears to you as. It is for a purpose. And it is the will of God expressing for that purpose. And that is why you must be obedient to the will of God and say, thy will be done. Because in your obedience to the will, you are entertaining the Holy Ghost unawares. And in that way, the flow will continue as whatever the need may be. Now, you will get a feeling for this if you don't have it. And you will know the difference. And you will see how beautifully he hangeth the earth on nothing. The secret of how he hangeth the earth on nothing is through the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. There is so much more to say. But really, it's something that you will find being said within you as you dwell upon this. You will find the entire Bible changes its whole complexion when you realize there is an invisible activity called the Holy Ghost, which can walk side by side with a human activity of a similar nature, and one is blessed and one is not. One is under the law and one is not. One is fulfilling a divine purpose and one is not, and to the human eye they are identical. And you will learn the difference and how to recognize them from within yourself. Now, this is a very difficult thing for me to teach, because it is something that your soul must teach you. At best, all I can do is point it out. Your real teacher will take you deeper within yourself, and you will feel. You will feel how the invisible universe manifests through your enlightened consciousness into manifest form. It really does. And that's, of course, the secret of all the healing miracles of Jesus. The invisible universe manifesting through his enlightened consciousness as the activity of the Holy Ghost finally appearing as manifest visible form, no longer crippled or withered or hungry or starved or blind or deaf, because the universal mortal mind veil had been dissolved, overcome. And men were able to look directly at the Holy Ghost, which they called the thing that they enjoyed. Now, this is the bridge between the two worlds, and it's formed in you. And your function here is to draw it out of you. Let it manifest by your willing silence unto the invisible spirit. That is the meaning of the heart and the Holy Ghost. But it's just the beginning of birth. Now, where this takes you individually, it is difficult to know at this moment. But there should be in you a liveness. Aliveness so great that you have a great expectation and anticipation, and you see you have been taken away from the human mind, which is the Antichrist, and you have been brought to that which is the Christ within, and this will become a living light within you, a living light manifesting the kingdom of God on earth where you stand. This is the Spirit's Mother's Day message to us. One feel that blessing amongst us now. I want to thank you all very much from the bottom of my heart for seeing you here today, because this has been a very important day for us all. And you have brought forth something we all must do and know. Your presence here was very important, not just to you, but to all of us. For your presence helps bring forth that which must come into our consciousness. And for that I thank you.